charlesriverconservancy.org or call Kathy at 617-868-0489.
And this Sunday morning at the Community Church of Boston, the Sunday Speakers Forum presents Reverend Jason Lydon speaking about the prison industrial complex and life sentences. Are they a penalty worse than death? Next week at the Community Church presents its annual Ethel and Julius Rosenberg commemoration. This year the speaker will be Jen Maripole, granddaughter of the Rosenbergs. The Sunday Forum is followed by a community luncheon, and all are welcome. The program starts at noon this Sunday at the Community Church of Boston, 565 Boylston Street in Copley Square. For more information, visit www.communitychurchofboston.org or call 617-266-6710.
Next Thursday, June 16th, in Cambridge, a film screening of The War You Don't See by John Pilger, the world-renowned filmmaker and journalist whose previous films include The War on Democracy, Stealing a Nation, and Breaking the Silence, among many others. Pilger's latest film asks, what is the role of the media in wars like Iraq and Afghanistan, and how are the crimes of war reported and justified by the media? Doors open at 6:30 p.m., next Thursday. A short film starts at 6:40. The feature film starts promptly at 7. It's at 243 Broadway in Cambridge. The entrance is on Windsor Street. Film and refreshments are free. Donations are accepted. For more information, visit rule19.org/videos.
And this Sunday is the annual Bikes Not Bombs Bikeathon and Green Roots Festival. The festival is the after party for the Bikeathon riders, whose fundraising ensures another successful year of Bikes Not Bombs local and international missions. The festival goes from noon to 5:30 p.m. in a Jamaica Plain and features live music, kids' activities, and all kinds of bike-centric information and activities. The festival is free and open to all. It's this Sunday from noon to 5:30 p.m. in the park opposite the Stony Brook T Station, Lamartine and Boylston Street in Jamaica Plain. For more information, visit bikesnotbombs.org.
It sounds like we're all out of time, don't you think?
I guess so.
Unless you have one that you want to slip in here at the last minute.
Well, the Coolidge Corner Theater will present a performance by Cuban singer-songwriter Carlos Varela and his band next Thursday evening, June 16th. For more than 20 years, he has had thousands of passionate fans, even when his songs have been banned from Cuban radio. For more information, visit coolidge.org.
All right, we're out of time. The views and opinions expressed on this program have been those of the participants and not necessarily the staff and management of WMBR, the Technology Broadcasting Corporation, or the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Thanks to all our guests, and we hope to see you again next week, except we won't actually see you. But hopefully you will hear us. If you missed any of the show, you can always tune in online, WMBR.org, where we have archives and so forth. Well, we're going to have some trouble now unless there's some more music. Come on, give us some more music. All right. Stay tuned for Music for Human Beings coming up as soon as they float on in. You're listening to WMBR Cambridge. It is just past 7 p.m. Thank you.
I see before me on this clear, clear evening, and yet I see a fog. There is fog so thick I cannot see beyond my arm. There is fog as far as the eye can see. This fog is make me thirsty. To quench this thirst, we bring Aurora, Aurora Marhwan.
Namaste. And thank you so much for having me on the show yet again. Hopefully, we can quench each other's thirst. Partaking in each other's fog. If you will.
Yes. I think partaking in fog would be very welcome indeed. Let's bring also, Erno on the air. Erno, marhaban.
Welcome. Welcome's extended to everyone. As we together, as a group, travel into this unknown fog, may we all find what we are looking for.
Indeed. Indeed. Well, also here to help with our searching is Zoro. Zoro, marhaban.
Hello, doctor, and hello to all of you out there, the listeners. Thank you. You know, I'm not sure if you said, doctor, it is clear or if it is a fog. I'm a little confused.
I think that it may be clear or foggy, depending on the perceptory organ.
I think, is it one of them a metaphorical kind of a fog or something like that?
Well, a fog of the ear or is just as real as a fog of the mind.
Or is it clear metaphorically and as a fog is more literal?
Zoro, I think that it is unwise to tip the vessel of knowledge.
As you wish.
The ancients have a saying which is...
Do not rock the boat.
This also, but mine eyes grow more foggy though the sky is clear.
I think that might be a medical issue. There are some diseases, you know, like the cataracts and the like. You should perhaps have that looked at.
Indeed, it is an early reference to what Hippocrates described as cataract.
Ah, yes. The natural human fog. That which we impose upon ourselves.
And yet this is such a perfect analogy. This happens in our vision. If we stare into too much brilliancy, as I believe it would happen within our souls, if we were exposed for too long to nirvana.
That is an interesting insight. I think actually I agree in this sense, and it clarifies the doctor's original position to me.
Aren't we all at times afflicted and afflicted
with spiritual cataracts.
I think conflicted.
So tragic, this periodic affliction, confliction, profliction.
I am quite overcome at the moment.
Are your spiritual cataracts just too dense today, Aurora?
I think perhaps it is the opposite, that everything is too close, too much can be seen at once.
Too clear. An anti-cataract. An anteract.
A dogaract.
Yes, I find myself...
Tesseract.
I find my... the vision of my soul, my solar eyes, to be very sensitive at the moment to the fluctuations of the universe. And to those of you who cannot see me, I am completely overwhelmed with waves of mirth and tears. At the moment, it is very difficult for me to remain lucid.
That is interesting. I thought it was perhaps a good choice of fashion, but I did not know that was what was going on.
Indeed. And I believe it's important for everyone to allow the universe to wave over you.
Yes, the cleansing force of the water and the bubbles which will clean dirt and anything which is trapped upon you.
And here we hear the songs of the universal whales as they travel the stars.
Hear them, the whales. I always believed when I first heard the whales, this rumbling, which of course is not a genuine recording. If you put your ear underwater and listen to the whales, these are not the sounds that are heard. This is a frequency modulated recording, because the frequency of the whale song is inaudible, can be felt but not heard. I always thought this wailing of the whales was simply an expression. We are blind, they scream. We are blind.
I'm not sure that the whales are blind.
No, certainly they are, and they do not know, because the entire species is blind.
Then they are screaming about what? I'm not sure.
That's where it all falls apart, you see, Zorro.
But it makes an interesting metaphor to consider our own position metaphysically. The loss of meaning which we all feel, I think that we all feel this, it is something of a universal quality. As we become our own person, we understand that there are many paths and we do not know which to choose.
Now, in this vein, Dr. Jollis, have you yourself experienced... Excuse me, another wave of the universe. Have you, Dr. Jollis, experienced the sensation of whale song?
In what sense, Aurora?
Physically?
Yes, well, absolutely. Anyone, I think, who has gone whaling has heard whale song. It's part of the experience of being on a boat which is in close proximity to these great beasts.
And how does this sensation, the physical interpretation of the whale song, how does it compare to the existential quality that we feel when we hear the whale?
Well, I think that many people would claim that the experience of hearing the a recording of the whale song or hearing it through a speaker would be a shadow of the genuine experience of having your diaphragm or other components, other organs vibrated directly.
Perhaps not a shadow, but an echo.
Indeed. The genuine substance in my mind is hearing it really through a speaker. The experience of having one's diaphragm vibrated by a sea elephant, as it were, is gastronomically disturbing. It causes one's bowels to move.
And the vestibular hallucinations, do you lose your balance or the like?
I never had these problems. Others did. It is not certain to me whether this is a result simply of being at sea for 3 or 4 years, but it's possible a number of physiological effects will manifest.
So how does the whale actually vibrate your diaphragm? Is it just...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, through the...
Just reaches in there.
As it were.
With the flipper.
Actually, if you have ever been to a large concert...
A whale concert?
No, the difference between listening to a whale directly as opposed to listening to one through the headphones.
I mean, I wonder, what does directly mean? Because you're always separated.
It's true.
Unless they are physically touching you.
Just imagine the whale as being a speaker.
Yes,
I'm not following.
I am imagining what comes next.
So, the whale vibrates the water, which vibrates the air, and causes the person's diaphragm to vibrate, to resonate, to explode.
Is it any way painful, or is it what kind of sensation?
People find it unpleasant. Some people are filled with a sense of dread or confusion. Others find it extremely spiritual. But to me, these are the people who associate feelings of spirituality with feelings of dread and confusion. I far prefer the modulated version, what the large-eared sea elephant, the whale, would itself experience.
If you had to describe the sensation, Doctor, would you find that it is cacophonous or perhaps melodic?
Maybe harmonic.
It's difficult for me to imagine any belly vibration as being either melodic or cacophonous. Neither of these terms are really appropriate. Just imagine that a child is jumping on your belly.
That is cacophonous.
It can be rather rhythmic.
I see. It may repeat like a clock or something. It goes over and over and over in the regular fashion.
And then suddenly it stops. Or imagine the child is jumping on your back. Becomes a spiritual massage. Let's just take a moment and meditate on this, on these and other issues. As horses go by, we gently dream for a moment. it's just so wonderful every moment to take a breath, to just scream. If you'd like to join us and scream, 617-253-8810, we have two screaming lines available. Marhaban, caller. Welcome.
Hello.
Hello to you.
I have a strange spiritual related request. I've become in a position of jet lag.
Yes, jet lag.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's from recent travels back from Chicago.
Perturbation of the circadian rhythms.
It's a struggle even to stay awake, but it, yet I don't feel that it's time to succumb to sleep and to let it take me away. I don't know. I try to get centered.
Relax.
Yes.
So there are a number of ancient methods for dealing with jet lag. It was not a common thing from traveling, of course, but it did occur for miners.
I think actually, if I remember my history correctly, the phenomenon of jet lag is what prevented travel from accelerating to such speeds.
That it may be. There are a number of holistic remedies, but foremost among them in the psycho-spiritual scientific research is the use of Viagra, which promotes the enlargement, the dilation of blood vessels, and which prevents jet lag. So that this
now,
is an interesting...
But that is not something that a doctor could prescribe for jet lag.
Well,
but if I mean, is there a way to approach it, to make it more... Because what if I couldn't, you know, fly at full mast in the Mile High Club, perhaps?
Well, caller, I'm not sure about this last statement, but indeed it is an off-label use of Viagra, but it is one that a doctor would be able to prescribe the medication for, Aurora.
Now, caller, it is also very important to understand that this jet lag, this inability to mesh desire and physical desire.
So the desire is set apart.
That's
the
right,
other desires.
Because your body desires sleep, but your mind desires the opposite. And so it is important to reach yourself and make this mind-body connection and tell yourself, I am not tired, I am not jet-lagged.
No.
I am not in Chicago.
You
are
not.
I am not tired, I am not jet-lagged.
What?
I need Viagra.
If I may ask, this is an open question, but what is the opposite of sleep? Is it hate?
The opposite of...
Yes. I'm not sure if the body desires sleep and the mind desires the opposite. What is the opposite of a sleep?
Yes, because the body never desires to be awake, but the mind desires to be asleep after a long day.
I'm not sure. To me, it is not the same to say the opposite is awake.
Well, caller, may I ask you, are you traditionally a sufferer of insomnia?
I'm not. I can usually fall asleep when I set my mind and body onto the couch. And even in social situations, I can fall asleep. But when I'm getting jet lagged, I feel like I'm being pulled in different directions. It's like a donkey pulling on rope tied to my limbs on both sides.
Now, caller, that is exactly because the monkey within you is pulling for sleep, and the upper being is pulling for awareness.
See, the other thing to this metaphor is that you may notice if there is a pulling force, it may crack your joints in a way that is pleasant and relaxing. So take out of this what you will, but I think the suggestion which I proffer to you is there is a new state of being which you may reach in this frame of mind and body, and a new place to enjoy. So if you let your anxiety about the situation dissipate, then you'll be more okay with how you are.
Yeah.
Okay, so you think maybe my anxiety is feeding the jet lag, which is in turn feeding the monkeys and donkeys, pulling both sides of my brain and my body in the struggle for awareness.
Absolutely, caller. And may I just throw in here, and sorry to jump in, but I think the pulling metaphor reminds me of another classic remedy for sleeplessness, which is to, if the monkey and the donkey are pulling at you, pull back, and pull back for love. So pull for love, and it will center you, and I think it will help you find sleep.
So if I pull back on the monkey and center it on the donkey, then I will be able to relax, especially with any ancient modern remedies. Whether you say Viagra to be used or not, if not, I can still pull as hard as I can and try and sleep that way.
Now I am told that should this higher state of awareness or being last for longer than 3 hours, that could be the sign of a serious condition. I'll keep that in mind.
Okay, well that does make sense, because like my flight was only 3 hours and I've never been affected by this Boston to Chicago thing. It's almost like my brain is just snubbing my body and going on and shutting down despite trying to walk on.
That must be quite distressing, I understand. There is another piece of advice which I've heard. And you may try if you find it convenient. And that is, if you are not ready to sleep, perhaps you are ready to eat. And it is difficult to fall asleep until you have digested your meals.
So
if you perhaps prepare some dinner of some kind, it may keep you awake long enough that you may reach the night.
And while you're doing this, caller, channel the inner bear. For the inner bear is capable of large quantities at meals and then hibernating.
Yeah, food.
Yes.
Food keeps me awake, I think largely because it is such a process to eat and then for hours to pick out little bits of food from the beard and the other areas. It takes a long time. So I don't like to start eating so close to sleeping.
For me, eating near sleeping is a transcendental experience, for it usually brings on prescient dreams, strange dreams that I know have messages in them, but I just cannot interpret them. It is almost scary at times.
Well, I don't know. Actually, traditional remedy for this, much of the food that you eat habitually contains magnesium. This is something I have seen you eating. A lot of pumpkin and other things, seeds, nuts, legumes. These contain a lot of magnesium, which causes the dreams to be especially vivid. So if you like, if you are really disturbed by these things, focus on foods which are less nutritionally valued. Foods that
like
are
pizza
yes. Or run to McDo and eat the McDonald's food or the other trash food, and you will find that it is heavier on the stomach, it is more disturbing overall, but it will help you sleep, and a deep sleep which is devoid of thought or reason. It's simple.
Just like the food.
May I jump in here?
Fine. Yes, please.
It is important to remember that within legumes and beans, and you do eat a lot of beans as well, you find many substances, many large substances, which will break up the cells within your body, and many, many toxins. And so these toxins are representing themselves through your dreams. Your body is screaming, "Do not feed me these toxins."
Well, I may have ingested some toxins in my time in Chicago with deep dish pizza. I've never had it before.
Ah, yes, the sinister type of pizza from the other part of the country.
Yes, the width in the depth of the pizza, maybe it affects magnesium deposits inside the crust.
Yes, I'm told that it is quite a sinful pizza.
Caller, tell us also, was the journey to Chicago? It is
I believe it was from Chicago.
But to come from, one must also travel to.
I'm not sure of that.
Caller, were you born in Chicago?
I was not born in Chicago. What drew me there was for work. And I don't know if I can blame my job for my condition, but it may make my work suffer as a result. I'll forget what I have to say, my presentation. I can't.
So there
I'm
is
at a loss.
There is a lot of anxiety here. I think Aurora would agree.
Public speaking, too, yes.
Mm.
But definitely your voice is riddled with anxiety.
Mm-hmm. I'm not
but
so
most,
sure.
Most people are. Almost, I'd say 99% of Americans suffer from vocal anxiety.
Yes.
But the caller here is suffering from a lifestyle impairment due to the anxiety. It's a severe problem.
Well, what is more pointed towards me, what I am seeing is this sort of a detached lisp throughout his speaking, a sort of somnolent sensation that I'm getting, which really brings to mind the fact that he is exhausted.
Please, Aurora.
So yes, caller, you are very tired physically as well as mentally.
Yes, I'm. Thank you, Aurora.
I'd like for all of us now to take a minute and to imagine something back to our previous discussion. Maybe help guide the caller here. Caller, are you with us?
I am with you, yes.
Are you able to take a moment to engage in some risky imagination?
Sure, I will follow this exercise, yes.
All right. You are in a safe place where you will not be disturbed.
Yes.
I want you to close your eyes and see the world filled with fog. You see
I
nothing.
See
you cannot see anything.
I see the fog rolling at me and emptiness.
Absence. You are suffering from a blindness, a dimness. Caller, what color is the fog?
The fog is a deep ice color. It's a deep ice. It's nothingness. It's blind, upside down, shadows. It's rolling. It's moving. I see the colors sort of moving in a shakiness.
So what colors are you seeing there?
It's like an ice, almost a puce, a puce.
Mm-hmm.
An ice puce, rolling nothingness.
Is it something of the off eggshell?
It's exactly an off eggshell. It's almost like the inside of an eggshell that's been cracked and left in the sun.
Now, caller, I want you to look now at the movement of the fog. Is it drifting mostly away or towards you?
It seems to be dangling in waves. It's dangling. It's difficult to exert the energy to determine direction.
Now, caller, the wind shifts and the fog begins to clear. Look at your feet. What do you see?
I see pine needles around my feet or on my feet?
Around. You
around
are just,
my feet.
Just beginning to be able to see your feet.
I don't remember pine needles being there.
Are you wearing shoes?
I am wearing one shoe.
What color is the shoe and which foot is it on?
It's a brown shoe. It's on my left foot.
Take off the shoe.
Okay.
Throw it behind your right shoulder and imagine.
Put it behind my right shoulder?
Throw it.
The foot?
The shoe.
The boot, okay. Okay, I've balanced it on my shoulder. Should I put it behind me on the ground?
Throw it behind you.
Okay. It is there. It is out of my sight.
All right.
Did you throw it or did you place it?
Well, I placed it on my shoulder.
No. Well, go back.
Fell. Okay.
If we're going to do this, we should do it correctly.
Please.
Pick up the shoe.
Okay.
Do you have it?
Okay. I put it back on. Leave it.
Now take it off.
It's in my hand.
Okay, yes. Now throw the shoe over your shoulder. Your right shoulder.
Oh, okay.
Your right, not my right.
Okay. Oh, I hit the phone with it. It's about 3 feet away, over my shoulder. It's upside down near a puddle.
What sound did it make?
It was
Make the sound.
Clump. A clump.
Very good. Very good. All right, Galer. Now, this is difficult. I know that we have prodded you so carefully, but relax and enter into your mind and concentrate. And you are looking from the shoe and back to your foot and up again to the horizon. And you see many of an animal. What animal? You see a sheep.
It's like an oxen glaring at me.
An oxen.
Over its shoulder.
It's not happy.
It is not. It wonders why. It's almost as if has disturbed its sleep.
What I would like you to do is carefully, of course, but approach the oxen with a fresh mind. And calm yourself and relax with the oxen. Try to make amends. Try, in a sense, to apologize, but also to show that there is no thing which you have done wrong.
Okay. I want the oxen to understand I did that for a reason and not to challenge it in any way.
Yes, let's...
No aggressiveness.
Let's focus on that deeply. Let's invite others to join with us. The number is 617-253-8810. We have two lines. Caller 2, marhaban.
Eggshell is not a color, it is a sheen. And the singular of oxen would be ox.
Wow.
Well, this is not in real life, caller. Please understand. This is my jet lag. This is my exercise. I'm putting my mind out.
See, caller, too much anxiety. The caller has disappeared. He has vanished, like the ox.
Yes,
even if we had a whole herd of oxi, it would not change the exercise.
Carrying each of them on their backs, boxing.
Yes, if you will, I think perhaps if you relax, we may re-enter into the visualization.
Yes, now, caller, look at the ox.
Okay.
And ask it, what have I done to offend you?
Oxen, to offend you?
What is its response?
Slow shaking of the oxen head. Glaring. Still glaring, but not as aggressive and harsh as before. More of a sympathetic glare of bereavement.
Yes, yes. You are coming to terms with yourself.
Yes, I feel it. I feel maybe it sharpens me, and maybe the oxen through the eggshell fog colored my jet lag to almost coincide on the same plane to even let me come back from jet lag and do a good job. Thank you. I did not expect this exercise to heal this mental itch I feel in my mind's eye, but it feels like, although a fingernail scraping the eye inside of a mind is not a pleasant on paper, it feels when you're in tune, the oxen in the eggshell,
Yes. It goes to show, I think, that even the skeptic may be convinced if he is willing to try.
I feel very sleepy as well. Caller, I love that image, the fingernail scraping the eye. It reminds me when I learned the English phrase eye contact, what I imagined the first time. Make eye contact, they said, Dr. Jalis, and I stood up and put my finger on the teacher's eye and I said, "Why?" And the teacher said, "It burns. What is that on your finger?" And I said, "Barbecue sauce."
It made the same sound as my shoe falling near the oxen in the eye of the holder.
I see.
Yes, yes, I think the lesson here that we have learned today is that we shall not throw shoes at disgruntled oxen. I hope you've learned your lesson, caller.
Thank you. Matravan.
Thank you,
good
caller.
Evening,
thank
caller.
You for joining with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Aurora.
Namaste.
Namaste. It's a master. Namaste. Namaste. Goodbye.
My salami caller. If anyone else would like to join, it's 617-253-8810.
And we have two free oxen-free lines open.
And I would love to encourage any timid listeners to just call in and be on the line with us, even if you cannot think of what to talk about, but particularly if you have any issues.
No, absolutely. Or if you'd like to help us with our issues. It's true, we've had in the studio for the last 3 months an individual who cannot speak or won't speak on the air. And we simply are pleased to have their presence spiritually and when they are asleep, somnolently, and when they are confused and not even present in a mental way. We're simply happy to have their warm body here, and when they are cold, it's just nice to fill the space.
Yes, I think I can quite agree.
It reminds me of a snowman sometimes. The way those eyes look out and see nothing. Like a snowman.
Well, this image, it is quite moving.
Sometimes I feel like a snowman.
I wonder at
like,
your
like
certainty.
Like eating a snowman?
Like a snowman.
As like, though you were a snowman.
Yes, I look out on the world and sometimes I think I see right through it. Into the void, and I wonder, is there anything really there? Or one day will I just melt away, leaving very few remnants of my person?
And
perhaps a top hat and a scarf.
Well, your organs, they feel synthetic. They are not yours, but placed.
We are all snowmen. All of us are just brought in on someone's enjoyment and to bring happiness to the world. And then one day, to melt away, leaving only a wet puddle.
I love this image, Aurora. I think to myself how much the world has changed since I was first rolled. And as I have become more and more damp, I have noticed, even this very day, I was given a spoon which was edible.
What was the spoon made of?
I'm not sure, but I was assured repeatedly that this was no ordinary plastic spoon. Indeed, it is so compostable or biocompostable that I was able to consume it, they assured me.
And, Doctor, if I may ask a personal question, did you consume the spoon?
I definitely tried. I think bits of it are still here.
In the beard.
In the, and various other hairs and clothing. Yes, Aurora.
And did you enjoy it?
Well, you know, the novelty of this to, frankly, a very old snowman is quite great.
I wonder if someday there will even be an edible fork, or if...
Well, actually, you know, as you say this, I realize it was a spork. It was not a spoon.
You know...
Or a spoon.
And yet one of the oldest inventions is an edible plate, which, as we all know, is a sandwich.
Or the hand.
Yes, well...
Someday I wonder why the Great Spirit decided to fashion us out of the celestial snow.
I've met the Spirit, and it's not so great. 617-253-8810. Please join us. Caller N, marhaban.
Hi.
Welcome, caller.
Hi, how are you?
Caller, only better since you have joined.
Oh, yeah.
Caller, tell us, do you ever feel like a snowman?
You know, I feel like a snowman, but I wish I had a carrot for a nose because I love carrots so much. Favorite food.
So you would eat your nose?
I think if I was a snowman, I would eat my hat.
Your...
Yeah?
Your hat.
My hat...
You would eat your hat?
Yes, I think it is the most edible. You put the bread on the snowman for an hat.
Is that right? Bread?
This is not...
Is this traditional in...
At least that was what my family had done.
Yeah, caller, many of the snowmans that I have seen have used a lump of coal or a shoe or a car battery as a nose. It's rare I've seen a carrot except in drawings. Because, you know, the irony of the carrot as the nose is that the carrot is only in season when there is no snow.
Oh, yes, that's true. But, you know, I feel like if I was a snowman, so I would not be a human. I think snowmen probably would center around so many Christmas trees, but they cannot move. They would want to eat the trees, and it's torture for them to be around so many Christmas trees because they get so hungry by looking at them, all of the ornaments. They want to eat them all.
The snowman, like the non-snowman, is empty inside.
Yeah.
Let's bring in another voice. We just have around 12 minutes left. 617-253-8810 if you'd like to join. Stay with us. Caller number N plus one, marhaban.
Yes, hello there. This is Dr. C. Edward Somerville. And I have to say I'm very disturbed by this talk of consuming the spoon.
Oh, is that right, caller?
Yeah, when you make a gesture like to consume the spoon, the object used to provide food, you consume it itself. You make quite a statement towards objects in general.
So your fear is that if one uses spoons to consume other foods, with what does one consume a spoon? The answer, I think, caller, is clear. Not all spoons are consumable. And with a non-consumable spoon, we consume the spoons which are consumable.
Yes, it's spoons all the way down.
Precisely, except really not.
But the caller brings up an excellent point. We are driving towards a future in which all spoons and utensils will become edible. And then what?
I think personally that a very nice, although it may be uncomfortable sounding, I think a good future would be to have all technology to be edible.
Well, my friends, my concern is this, is that what I think you are driving at is that when you consume the spoon, you dissociate the object from its, many objects from their customary relationships with us. If we are to lose our good standing with objects in this world, all chaos will ensue.
Yes, it is indeed a statement on Western-type materialism, is it not?
Yeah, it could be. Let's bring in another voice. The number is 617-253-8810. And, oh, we have such little time. Stay with us, N plus 1. 2N, marhaban.
There is no spoon.
Yeah, this is a phrase I've heard many times, but...
Indeed, and Dr. Jealous has consumed it.
It not anymore, that's what? For sure.
What is the origin?
Some point, someone did not do their dishes and clean them, and they were out of spoons, I think.
I believe this is a transcendental human experience.
I think I've heard, I'm sure it's not the only source, because it must be quite ancient, but there is some kind of a gone, which, you know, the puzzle, there is no spoon. Is the answer, but I cannot remember the question.
I thought it must be from a film.
But I think
we need to recognize also that is it unwashed spoon, still a spoon? Is that really the case still? Because a spoon is more than a spoon when it is unwashed.
Mm.
Yeah. So we've all been in that situation, Color, where we've not cleaned our dishes or silverware for months on end. And we are just stuck in this rut of eating with our hands week after week.
I believe
this is what this refers to.
Well, because certainly at that point, the spoon, which is amended with bits of crumb or dried on food, does not precisely fit the definition of spoon anymore.
Caller, you bring up an excellent point. This is one of the few examples where adding something can actually diminish.
Well, diminish, change, however you want to look at it. You know, I find it uncomfortable to call it a spoon.
Caller, tell us for a moment, if you imagine yourself as a snowman, what flavor of snowman would you be made of?
Oh, boy. You know, I have this problem quite a lot. I would say that it depends on the ambient temperature of the snow, first of all, because things taste different at different temperatures.
Well,
so,
I know that it is a personal question, but perhaps I will put myself out there first, and then it may be easier to be open. I think that if I were a snowman, I would be of a flavor grape.
A grape flavor. I will always imagine myself as a cherry flavored snow woman.
I think it's clear that without flavoring, you are not accepting of snow as a living thing. I mean, I think it's fair to say that before the flavoring, we have all flavor potentials, and I think that is where I most imagine myself being.
Yeah, man, in attempting to exceed the desires that I have had, once said to me, if I request a fork, he will give me a spork. If I request salad, he will give me salad dressing. This is always very confused, because I'd rather have salad.
Perhaps next time you should ask for roast beef. Oftentimes it comes with a side of salad. Everybody is happy.
I think that he would... If this pattern is any indication, I would have gotten roast beef.
I think there is a phrase of this nature, right? It is something like, if you give a man a beef, he will be fed for a day. But if you teach a man to hunt...
To beef.
To get a beef, to get a cow...
I think the original phrase, Zorro, is if you give a man a fish, and then if you teach the man
to fish. If you teach a man to fish, then he will prefer vegetables.
So for beef, it should be if you give a man a beef.
He will have a salad.
And then you teach a man to beef.
Now going back to the question that was posed a few minutes back that I've been pondering since... I believe I would be a rabbit foot flavored snowman.
Mm.
So I would give luck to people.
Well, that is very altruistic of you. I think
it is. But not when tasting.
when?
It has been a long time since it's been customary to even taste a rabbit's foot, so I don't even know what they would be like anymore.
It is horrid.
I had not done such a thing since I was 11 or 12 years old. Of course, then again, at 11 or 12 years old, a rabbit's foot was something that was most often carried with a live rabbit still attached, so...
Well, unfortunately, caller, we are out of time.
Well, thank you again, everyone. I appreciate you allowing me to contribute.
Thank you so much, caller.
We appreciate you. I am a Dr. Janis Sakran. Aurora.
Namaste.
Erno.
Thank you, Doctor. Have a good weekend.
Zoro.
Thank you, Doctor. Thank you, of course, to all the listeners out there and those callers which we were not able to get to this week.
I am a Dr. Janis Sakran here on Music for Human, which is New Age Talk Radio with an emphasis on you. We answer difficult questions, to beef or not to beef. And we are here every Friday at 7 p.m. on WMBR Cambridge 88.1 FM. Stay tuned for Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Maa salama.
For safety.
Number one.
Cars and bikes stop at red lights.
It's against the law for car drivers or bicycle riders to ignore traffic signals.
So don't buzz through red lights. There might be a pedestrian or turning car that doesn't see you coming.
Number two.
Look first before you open your door.
Numerous bicyclists have been injured or even killed by car doors suddenly opening into them.
Look first, and bicyclists, stay out of the door zone.
Number three.
Cross with the signal.
You are safest if you wait for a walk or green traffic signal.
Don't jaywalk. That's just walking into trouble.
Number four.
Cars and bikes should stop for pedestrians and unsignalized crosswalks.
Be nice. Be legal. Be safe.
Brought to you as a public service by the Cambridge Bicycle Committee and this station.
I conducted the Magic Flute, Mozart's great opera. I found in my research an opera actually written by Mozart, but it said Salieri on it. But it is understood that Mozart actually wrote it, so you can imagine what kind of opera it is. and put Salieri's name on it. Well, anyway, I'll tell you a little about it because it's quite interesting. It is in one act only. It begins with a 45 minutes intermission because it's such a short opera. And when the curtain rises, first you hear the overture, but when the tour is over, the curtain rises, of course. Otherwise, you couldn't see a thing. And on the stage are two large trees. One is on this side, and one is on the other side. And that indicates a small forest. Now the tenor comes in. He's supposed to meet his soprano, but she hasn't arrived yet, so he hides behind one of the trees in order to surprise her when she comes in a little later, which she does. And when she comes in a little later, which she does, she can't find him because he is hidden behind the tree. And she doesn't know that. Of course she knows it because she must have seen it during rehearsals. But she pretends. Either that or she's playing